Beloved congregation, last Sunday morning for our preparatory service, we considered those words from Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We saw there the general truth that all men have departed from the Lord as a great flock of sheep. But we also saw the specific truth that each of us individually, in our own unique personal way, have left the Lord, have sinned against him, have turned from him. And then we also saw that glorious truth that the Lord God in heaven caused the Lord Jesus, remember, to encounter, even including the element of violence, remember, to violently encounter, to meet all the sins of all his people, all their guilt. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, this morning, for our Lord's Supper sermon, we see what you could call the sister verse of this one in the Old Testament. Two verses having a very similar picture. Leviticus 16, verse 21 says, "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat." Picture it, boys and girls. Here's the animal in our mini-series on animals. We've got a goat, and there's the high priest, and he takes his hands and he sets them on the head of that goat. He presses down on that goat. Maybe it's bleeding. Maybe it's making noises. Maybe someone has to hold the goat. It's a very vivid picture. And it says he's confessing over that goat all the transgressions, all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them, symbolically, upon the head of that goat. And then in verse 22, the words of our text, we read, "And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited." We consider this morning the scapegoat laden with iniquity. Notice the similarity to Isaiah 53, verse 6. You have the concept of laying on of iniquity. You have the idea of bearing away of sin, taking it away. The Bible is, in this chapter, Leviticus 16, once again teaching us the truth of the imputation of sin from a guilty people to another, here in the picture of the goat, which in turn pictures what Isaiah speaks more clearly of, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That goat bears away the sin of all those people, symbolically, as I said, but Christ, he did it in reality. Well, what happens in this chapter? Let's look at the bigger picture. What's this chapter all about, Leviticus 16? This chapter gives instruction about the great Day of Atonement. Once a year, a feast of sacrifice would be held in Israel called the Great Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur, and it's described here. It's the most important day in the Old Testament Jewish calendar. It's interesting to note that this was the only feast day upon which God called for a fast. And on this special high day, the high priest made atonement. We read in the first 10 verses, first he made atonement for himself, then for the people. He even made atonement for the sanctuary. Sin had polluted everything. That's the picture. Sin pervades everything, and everything needed to be cleansed, and everything needed to be purged. That's the picture on this day, is that God, every year again, would show this picture, that sin which he hates, he will also deal with. He will also find a way. He has a way to purge it away. And on this day, as we've read, two goats were to be taken. And we read about how one of those goats would be chosen. After a lot was cast, notice there it said that he will take of the children of Israel, the congregation, two kids of the goats for a sin offering. And he'll bring them, verse 7, presenting them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And then lots would be cast. And one of them would be chosen as the atoning sacrifice. That goat would be slaughtered and it would be sacrificed. And the other goat would be kept to be used later as the scapegoat. What a beautiful picture is in these two goats, congregation. These two goats together, they beautifully describe the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way sin could be forgiven is by blood. Blood had to be shed. You see that in the first goat. The goat is slain. He's offered. His blood is shed. And his blood was placed in a little bowl. Aaron had to take that blood into a very special place, into the holy place. That was a place that Aaron was in every day, the first part of the inner part of the temple, the tabernacle. But when he was in that holy place, he had to put forth his hand and he had to move that curtain, that veil, behind which was the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies. And he would pull that curtain back, holding that bowl, and he would slip in behind that curtain into that Holy of Holies. And there he was in full view of the Ark of the Covenant. There was the mercy seat on top of the Ark, and above it you've got the cherubims with their wings touching one another. Normally, if a priest would enter there, he would die. But on this one day, Aaron was not only allowed to enter, he was commanded to enter. And he had to take the blood from that bowl, dip his fingers into that bowl, and he had to sprinkle the blood of that slain goat onto the altar 7 times. Picture of the blood of Jesus Christ satisfying the righteous demands of the law housed within that ark. The blood sprinkled on that lid was a picture of payment, a picture of expiation, of atonement, of satisfaction for the demands of God's holy law in response to our sin. It's a beautiful picture how, as is developed also in the book of Hebrews later, the Lord Jesus Christ, he ascended into heaven, going into that throne room of God, presenting the evidence of his sacrifice. And he still does that today. What a picture this was once a year of blood. John sees in heaven a lamb as it had been slain. Very important. Not a perfect lamb. A lamb as it had been slain. In the presence of God, a picture of payment. But what about the second goat? What happened to him? After Aaron had slipped back out of the holiest of all, he went back to the outer court and he approached the live goat. Read it again, verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. All those sins, all their transgressions, all the iniquities of another year transferred onto the head of that goat. And then that goat was led away by a man appointed. We read, a fit man, a capable man, a man who could hike. This This had to go a long ways. Then he had to take that goat, burdened with all the sin of the people, carrying that sin away as he's led away without the camp, outside the camp. Not just 10 meters, I don't know, maybe 10 kilometers. He had to carry it far away, and the people would watch as that goat was led off, and it disappeared, and then they waited. Far away, this man took the goat. And then, when he was certain the goat wouldn't find his way back to the camp, he let it go. And the goat would run off. You see it going? Off it goes into a land not inhabited. A scary future for that goat. A land of dark nights. A land full of dangers, an inhospitable land, a lonely land, the original has it, an unforgiving land, a waste, howling wilderness. There it is, left alone. See the goat bleating as it looks right and then left and walks along the rocky ground, and as it goes, it bears symbolically the curse of the people. It's a doomed goat. It's a cursed goat. It's not going to survive in this dry and thirsty land. The lion will seize upon it. The heat will consume it in thirst. The land will swallow this goat up. How closely, again, this connects to our preparatory message of last week. This is what happens when the iniquity of the people is laid symbolically on this goat. It has a violent encounter with certain death, just as Jesus did. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was led by the hand, not of some man, but by his Father, who laid on him the iniquity of us all. See him in this goat being led away into the darkness of Gethsemane, into the darkness and blackness of Golgotha, shrouded by night, as he bears away the sin of all his people. He looked on the right hand, and there was none. Refuge failed him. No man cared for his soul. In those 3 hours of darkness, he endured thirst and agony. The lion of the law pounced upon him, demanding payment for the sin transferred, imputed to him. The flames of hell rose around him as he descended into it. He was swallowed up of death itself, like that goat that would die, swallowed up by the wilderness. Into a land not inhabited. It is a land not inhabited by you or me. We live in the land of the living. We are in the day of grace. A land not inhabited is foreign to us. A land uninhabited by the restraining hand of mercy. A land that he experienced where all wrath breaks out. A land uninhabited by the grace and the goodness of God. A land where all good and all life and all mercy and all light and comforts are absent. The only thing there is terror and shrieks and pains and the flames of hell. There's hopelessness and despair there. Oh, beloved, see the scapegoat in a land not inhabited, laden with iniquity. The picture of where sin will bring you if you don't have a scapegoat. Are you yet in your sins? How will you die? There are only two ways. Either the Lord will lay your iniquities upon him that is pictured in this scapegoat, or the Lord will lay your iniquities on you. And if that's what happens, you cannot stand. If you end up going into that land not inhabited, you will not stand, because that land is is not inhabitable. It's inhospitable. And yet it's a place where you'll have to dwell forever, a place where the lion of the law will pounce on you forever to torment you, a place where ever the payment for sin will be extracted and exacted from you, a place where the flames of hell will never stop rising, a place where you will be swallowed up in everlasting death. Oh, see the goat going. Don't you want that goat to take your sin so you don't have to go where that goat's going? Maybe you say, who would want to do that? Look again at the goat. It's not resisting. It's a beautiful picture. The goat goes willingly. Let alone see Christ. The Lord Jesus went willingly into a land not inhabited, loaded with all the sin of all his people. Don't you want him to take your sin? Him who went willingly to take your iniquities away. You know, if you have to go there, you won't go willingly. The Bible describes how they will knock on the door then, saying, open unto us. Let us into the kingdom of life and light. You won't want to go into that land uninhabited then, but you will go if this scapegoat is not laden with your iniquity. And then you will not be led away by some man, but you will be sent away by Jesus Christ himself, the one who could have been your scapegoat, who your whole life long stretched out his hand to you, saying, come unto me and live. Bring the burden of your sin and guilt to me. I'll bear it away to a land uninhabited for you. But on that day, he'll have to send you away, saying, depart from me. Is that what you want? There you will go, bearing your sin and your guilt to a land not inhabited. Oh, dear congregation, look again at the table spread before us this morning. It speaks of deliverance from the very hell you deserve. It preaches iniquity transferred to him who suffered for sinners. And today he calls you, put your trust in him. Let your heart go out after him this morning. Say to him, Lord, break the hardness of my heart. Give me a desire for this Savior, that he would be my life. And specifically to you who are his child this morning, you think about these things. See what you've been delivered from. The imagery of this goat in a land not inhabited points to the sufferings and the afflictions, the terrors that the Lord Jesus endured for you. What terrors you've been delivered from, child of God. You belonged in that land uninhabited because of your sin and guilt. But behold, the scapegoat. All your sin and your iniquity has been transferred unto him. And now they're gone. That's the key message in the scapegoat. Because after some time, the man came back with no goat. The goat was gone. All those iniquities and sins and transgressions imputed to the goat, gone. They would never see that goat again. Such a powerful picture. The message to Israel was, your sins and your iniquities, you'll never see them again. I will remember them no more. Because of the atonement. He removes your sin far beyond the horizon, far away, into a land not inhabited, never to be seen again. Oh, as we sang, as far as the east is from the west, he all our sins removes. That's a glorious gospel to lay hold of this morning, congregation, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then there's your experience. Sin doesn't always feel that far away. It doesn't always feel like it's in a land not inhabited, far from you. You feel sin staking out your very own soul, and you feel again the deep rootedness of sin in your own heart. And maybe you say, is this scapegoat really true? Well, remember, it wasn't man's idea. It was God's idea. And don't think then that God doesn't at the same time see your remaining sin. He does. But what's the message God gives in the scapegoat? It ties back to last Sunday evening's sermon on justification. It's as though I see your sins no more. The reality is, sin still exists, and you still struggle with sin your whole life long. But remember the wording on the justification of faith by the catechism. It's as if I never had, nor yet committed any sin, because they're transferred to another. And therefore, he says, I behold no iniquity in Jacob. From God's perspective, sin is dealt with. In all those who have cast themselves on Jesus Christ by faith. And that realization, even in the face of remaining sin, congregation, gives peace and rest to all whose iniquities have been laden on Christ. And that's why it's not because of you, but because of Him, that you can participate in the supper this morning. It's for Jesus' sake. And so say, Lord, receive me now for the sake of Him, pictured in the scapegoat, laden with iniquity. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our God in heaven, what a beautiful picture has been set before us this morning in this goat. That in thy infinite wisdom, this vivid picture was presented before the eyes of the people of Israel once a year as a reminder of thy covenant promises to take away all iniquity, to be a God and a Savior for them. And Lord, that is not changed today. Lord, we live after the time of the Old Testament. We live after the time of the fulfillment of the picture of the scapegoat. And Lord, we can draw near to Thee because there was one who bore the sin of many. Lord, as we turn now to the table, as we focus our hearts on these truths in the sacrament, help us to do so in remembrance of Thee. And may Thy people be strengthened and edified and built up in the faith, we ask. Bless Thy word and forgive our sin, for Jesus'